What up, what up, what up, everyone? This is the Dr. Football Podcast. I am your host, Dr. Dennis Tien, recording remote tonight from my home in Dedham, Mass. Joining me always, the CEO of HedgeBetter from the HedgeBetter Studio in Braintree, Justin Fine. Justin, what is going on, man? It is a new era for the New England Patriots tonight.
It is a new era. You know what? It's April, but hey, May's right around the corner, right? For the New England Patriots. It is the Drake May era in New England. Really interesting first night of the draft. I think, I'm sure, you watched it. You probably had some similar reactions to me, but overall, just happy to have football back, but definitely some interesting takeaways from last night's draft.
Yeah, a lot to talk about, and we can record a full episode next week when we have the full draft behind us and kind of get into it a little more depth. But we wanted to just come out with something today to discuss the May pick because it is such a monumental, I think, moment for the franchise. So let's just get right to it. We're going to talk a little about the May pick. I got a couple takes on things I've seen from last night, things that were said and other things. We might run quickly through the top 10 of the draft, and then we're going to wrap it up, and we'll come back next week after everything's said and done. So let's just get right to it, Justin. I'm curious to hear what you think about the Drake May pick, but I'm going to start off by saying I love this pick, and I know that it's not, like, cool to be positive about anything, but I'm sorry. I have to call it like I see it, and May was the guy from the beginning that I wanted them to bring in. And I'm going to tell you why he is a good gamble to take, because all of these guys, all of them are gambles. They're all rolls of the dice. And I feel great about Drake May as being a roll of the dice for two reasons. One is he has a baseline of size and arm strength and physical talent that I think will serve him well in the NFL. After just watching Mac Jones for 3 years and have to always kind of try and wonder, did this guy have the physical talent to be successful in the NFL? You never have to worry that about Drake May. I think it's a great baseline to start from. But the thing I really love about Drake May, because he has limitations, and we know he has limitations. He's inexperienced. He needs to develop his game. His footwork seems to be an issue from all the experts. But what I love about this kid is his demeanor. He's competitive. He's an alpha personality. He's faced adversity. Okay. He is a leader, a natural leader. One might say an alpha naturally. And he is resilient. And I think you add up his psychological demeanor, what he faced in college, what he was able to overcome, his upbringing, being the youngest brother, the way he carries a room, it's authentic. When you hear this kid talk, this is who he is. It's almost like a Gronk-like, joy or jocularity to him. It's sincere. It's authentic. It's who he is. I love it. I feel like all of that is going to lead him to good places. It's going to get him through dark times. It's going to get him to develop. It's going to get him where he needs to go. He's almost got a little Brett Favre thing going on. I kind of love it. And I think that, above all, you're betting on the kid. And that's why I think this is a good bet for the New England Patriots.
Yeah. I for me coming into this, I'll admit it. You know, I was a little skeptical, not only just about Drake May, but all these quarterbacks, right? I mean, I wasn't the biggest fan of any of them. But over the last 24 hours, I've gotten to see a lot more of Drake May, not even necessarily football highlights, but to your point, him as a person, right? I've gotten to see, like, his personality, his sense of humor, like his demeanor. The way he's kind of just, like, comfortable, in front of a camera or on a video set or just the way he interacts with people. Like, the guy just exudes confidence and personality. And I think that's so important to have as a leader in the locker room. It might sound so dumb. And I told my friends this last night. This might be the dumbest take ever, but I saw a video of him. He did an ad spot for Raising Cane's in the chicken company, right? And it was just like, even just watching that video, how he's interacting with, like, people at the food truck, like, the little kids, the fans, the other people at the food truck. Like, even just that was like, okay. I was like, this guy is a confident, smooth criminal. Like, he is an alpha. He is for sure.
He is for sure
someone who's got like the personality and the demeanor. And I think it really made me feel good that, hey, this kid may not be fully developed and NFL ready right now to start on week one. But given, like you said, the baseline for his physical talents, coupled with what I'm seeing up here in terms of his personality and attitude, I think that's a winning recipe potentially. And not only that, but looking back at the way the rest of the draft shook out, there really wasn't much room to trade back and do much else.
No, there really wasn't. And I think, you know, I think you're right. And I think these kids are all gambles. So you're going to have to at some point plant your flag down at some point and gamble on one of these kids. Now, listen, did you hear how Caleb Williams spoke? I mean, and how he came off? I mean, he seems like a wonderful human being. Caleb Williams is a wonderful human being. He comes off like a monk. I feel like he's going to end up in a monastery in a few years. Like, I don't know if he's going to be a great NFL quarterback. You know, does he have the personality to deal with Chicago and all the expectations and the weight of being the number one pick and the clear-cut guy? You know, I think we spend way too much time on analyzing these guys. So he throws from different angles. Oh, he does not, you know, they're on everything. We don't spend enough time thinking about their demeanor and their head. And I think that's where May is really going to, it's going to lead him, I think, through what is going to be a multi-year process, because there's no question Drake May has limitations as a player.
Yeah, no, 100%. Yeah. Caleb Williams, like he seems like he should be out in Burning Man or something like that.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, seriously, like that's kind of the vibe I get from him. Drake May 100%, you know, filled me with the most confidence out of all those guys. I mean, you know, you go down the list of all those guys who got drafted. I mean, six quarterbacks in the top, you know, in the top 12, I believe it was, right? And you know, out of
how about the first 14 players being on offense, Justin?
The longest streak ever.
Have you ever seen that before?
The longest streak ever.
That's nuts. Yeah. That's absolutely nuts. The best defensive player was taken at 15.
Yep. Absolutely. And I don't even think that was the best defensive player, by the way. I think that was kind of a weird pick too, but regardless, I look at those six quarterbacks that went in the top 12, and out of all of them that I could go and try to poke holes, I feel like Drake May is the least concerning. You know, you just go down the line, like Caleb Williams, like his personality is a huge red flag. Like Jaden Daniels seems like, you know, just from his pre-draft discussions with, you know, trying to dictate where he wants to play and not liking the cold and this and that, huge red flag. Okay. JJ McCarthy, his lack of production at the collegiate level, like he was carried by his team. He wasn't really asked to do much. He wasn't put in too much of an adverse situation at all. That's a big red flag. Michael Penix Jr. I actually really like Michael Penix Jr., but severe injury history, and he's got a lot of work to do in a short passing game, right? Bo Nix, again, another guy who I just think, like, if you compare him to Drake May, he's just a step below kind of in all facets. So I look at all those guys that were drafted, and who knows who's going to pan out, who's going to do what. But Drake May gives me the least cause for concern out of all those guys.
I mean, I think you can look at any of these guys and honestly pick them apart. And I think that it's going to be a process for each and every one of them. I think we said this a few weeks ago. You said this a few weeks ago on this podcast. And you're 10,000% right. There is no Peyton Manning or John Elway in this draft. Every one of these guys had something around them that I think you could question, and every one of them is going to have some kind of process here of growth and development. So, like I said, give me the kid with the good psychological makeup, and I think that's where I want to take my gamble. I want to talk to you, Justin, about two what if scenarios before we just briefly run through the top 10 picks. Number one is, what if Bill Belichick was still here? Because I don't know if you heard Belichick on the McAfee show. Did you listen to any of that last night? So Belichick did not seem totally enamored with Drake May. He did pick apart all six of these guys. But if you ask me, from listening to Belichick, the two guys he liked the best in this draft class were Bo Nix and JJ McCarthy. And I just think that if Belichick was still the man in charge, he was really most effusive about J.J. McCarthy. There is no doubt in my mind they're taking J.J. McCarthy if Belichick was still here.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I don't doubt that at all. And honestly, it's not that I dislike J.J. McCarthy, but I've just seen nothing from the kid that makes me think that he's going to live up to the hype. And I'm sorry. I mean, maybe he does. I hope he does. But yeah, no, I'm very confident in Drake May. But I think you're right. I think if Belichick was there, we probably would have traded back. You know,
maybe we would have tried to pull McCarthy. And you know what I'm thinking when I'm hearing Belichick go gaga over McCarthy is I'm like, this is like Bill Belichick being a little bit of a dinosaur, right? Because he likes that like kind of old school. Maybe this is why he wasn't so good at drafting the last few years. You know, he sees a kid like McCarthy, and maybe that would have been a better play. I like McCarthy, first of all, for the record. I did not dislike him as a player. I think he would have been a good pick for whoever got him. But I am thinking, you know, there is something there where like Belichick being so old school lines up with McCarthy's skill set best. And there is a commentary there about how Belichick sees the game and maybe why this team has failed a little bit the last few years at drafting.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, look, I don't think it's I don't think you have to look too far to kind of see the connection. Right. And it almost makes you wonder, like, you know, what was going through Bill's mind in that, what was it? The 2019 draft with Mac Jones. Was that it? 2019?
Yep. Yeah.
2021. Yeah. The 2021 draft of Mac Jones. I mean, yeah, you really wonder what he's valuing, how he's evaluating. But you know what? It was interesting, you know, to see what the Patriots decided to do under their, you know, their new regime. And that was, look, we're going to stick with the pick. We're going to take the guy, the best guy available, and we're not going to try to outsmart everybody or be the most clever guy in the room. We're going to do what makes sense. And that was take Drake May.
And it was the safe pick that I think at the time too. And I mean, no one's going to, I think, look back. I mean, obviously people will look back and criticize him if May doesn't work out, but generally speaking, it wasn't like they stuck their neck out and say, you know, took N'Keal Harry or Cole Strange when everyone's saying this wasn't a pick like that. This was the guy who was expected to go where he went. They kind of did the same thing, has a tremendous upside. I'll use Drake May's words about it. I'm stoked about it. And I think Drake May said he was stoked about it too. One other what if, Justin, you just hit on this super important point. What if the Patriots had traded back to 11? They very well could have been shut out of a quarterback with Penix going A. We called that. I called it. I wrote it on our page. We said it on here how many times? Penix is not making it past 15. He's not probably making it out of the top 10. He's got too much talent. Someone's going to take a chance on this guy. He's too well put together emotionally. And sure enough, he was taking A. Had the Patriots traded back, they could have been in real trouble. They could have gotten shut out of a quarterback.
Big trouble. I mean, especially depending, like you said, depending on how far back they traded. I mean, after pick number 12, pretty much all the quarterbacks are gone at that point, right?
They were.
So, yep. I mean, yeah, you would have really pigeonholed yourself because you would have had only two options at that point, McCarthy and Nix. And you know what, to your point, like, you know, we talked about, oh, did the Patriots trade back and go take a Michael Penix Jr.? He wouldn't have been there.
And so, we knew that. And you and I had said that how many times on this podcast, you know, people that Patriots fans that thought you were going to be able to pull Michael Penix at 34 or, you know, trade back into the first round. That was fantasy island. This kid had way, way too much going for him. Okay. Two other quick takes about the Pats. Then we'll briefly breeze through the top 10. Then we'll wrap it up and we'll come back next week. Number one, sign Elliott Wolf tomorrow. That guy's terrific. I think he's the best thing going for the franchise right now. Just the way he presented last night. I don't know how much of his press conference you might have caught. Said all the right things. He's honest. He's transparent. He doesn't say too much. I just feel like he knows what he's doing. I feel like the franchise is in good hands with Elliott Wolf. I like how he handled this first pick. I really feel like Elliott Wolf is maybe the best thing this franchise has going for them right now.
Yeah. I mean, you know what? You need that. You need somebody at the top that everybody can kind of be confident in. And you know what? Yeah. I still think there's a long way to go in terms of, you know, solidifying himself as a, is, you know, a top talent GM, but you know what? I liked what I've seen so far. And you know what? I think he made the right decision in round one. I do. And I think,
and I think the Crafts made the right decision in giving him the control and authority. And I hope they're smart enough to wrap this guy up because he still doesn't technically have a contract. I hope that's all worked out. And it's just a formality because I think this kid, I think Wolf is a stud. I think he's going to be a great GM. And I think he's going to build a great team here if he's given the opportunity to do so.
Yeah. Yeah. I hope so.
Okay. And then one last take, you know, for the last 2 years, we've been talking about it. This might've been the worst situation in the NFL for a young quarterback. Well, now we have another young quarterback, Justin, is this still the worst situation or one of them in the NFL? I mean, you know, Carolina might be worse. They just took a receiver, by the way, with pick number 29 last night. So they've even built up a little bit. They brought in Dante Johnson this year as well. Are the Patriots a bad place or a good place for a young quarterback right now?
Well, you know what, in the grand scheme of things, if you're comparing them to the rest of the landscape of the NFL, I think it's obviously one of the tougher places to come to. But if you want to look at the Patriots on an individual level, I don't think it's maybe as bad as everybody's saying, right? I mean, look, you got a top five defense. You don't have any world beaters at wide receiver, but you have an okay little core if they're able to stay healthy. And maybe most importantly is you don't have to play the kid right away. Drake May has the luxury of being able to sit and develop, right? And let's not forget too, like, you know, round two starts tonight in a little bit. There's a lot of good receivers that could get moved for a second or third round pick. Like, I'm still not putting it out of the realm of possibility that the Patriots could make a move from somebody. You know, there's still a couple of good rookie wide receivers to be taken in the draft. And obviously the Patriots have a high pick in the second round. So, you know, even as is, I don't think it's doom and gloom, but we still, you know, this situation could drastically improve over the weekend.
Yeah, I mean, totally. I mean, I don't think they're done yet. And even if they just stick and pick, I mean, they're going to get probably have a chance to bring in a couple good players. All that said, I do think this is still a bad situation. This is not, I mean, you look at what Chicago has. If Caleb Williams is any kind of quarterback, right, he's going to be successful in Chicago with Roman Dunze. I mean, Keenan Allen, they're kind of stacked. This team has a lot of holes. The Patriots do still, but you just hit the nail on the head. You can't force this kid, Drake May, to come in. Like, you've got him now. This year is all about his development. I don't think you have the luxury to sit him for 4 years, like, say, the Packers did with with Jordan Love, right? But you can't force this kid out there this year. I think this year is all about his development. It's still a rough situation. You know, there's going to be a lot of moving parts. You got Jacoby Brissett. You give this kid the time to develop, and you try and develop the rest of this team to make it a better situation and bring in the right pieces and go from there.
Yeah, I agree. Exactly. One of the best things to that point is we're in no rush. He's got all the time in the world and we can let him develop. And you know what? I think that's almost the biggest thing going for him right now, because even if he did have a stud wide receiver or two, you know, it's always tough putting a rookie out there in week one and you know, setting those expectations. So no, I like the fact that Drake May really gets to come in and kind of grow and develop and find himself before we actually need him out there.
Yeah, absolutely. And then that's don't forget, he only played 2 years of football in college. So
right.
he's not, and Belichick said that as well. He's 100% right about that. I mean, this kid needs more experience. He's not ready yet. It would not be conducive, I think, to his development to hurry him out there. Okay, let's run briefly through the top 10. I mean, we're going to go into more detail when we record next week about this, but just in general thoughts about anything in that top 10 that stood out with you. I don't know if you want to go one by one here quickly or if you just want to kind of do a general thing, but where do you want to start? You want to start with the Bears and just quickly run through?
Yeah, let's just quickly run through. Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, I already said it. I mean, I think Williams is going to a terrific situation. If he's any kind of player, he's going to be successful. I would expect him to start right from the get-go, but area of concern. I think he fits in better in a monastery than an NFL locker room. And I think he's going to be a colossal bust. I'll say it. I'm just going to throw it out there. And if I'm wrong, I'll eat those words.
Yeah, I agree. I don't expect much from him. I think he's going to be a bust as well. But you know what? At least Chicago can say that they did everything possible to make that transition for him to the NFL as smooth as it can be. Again, I don't think his personality is conducive to leading an NFL locker room, especially not as a rookie. And I have some questions about actually just how talented he supposedly is. But you know what? At the end of the day, I agree. Yeah. I think he's going to be a bust. I think he's going to fizzle out. But I think overall that Chicago team is setting themselves up nicely to be a good landing spot for a quarterback, whether it's him or somebody else in the future.
He's kind of small too, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I know the league has changed a lot and that's kind of, there's a lot of smaller quarterbacks that are in the league right now, but people compare him to Mahomes. He's 2 inches shorter and he's like 10, 15 pounds lighter. Yep. Than Mahomes.
Yeah, he's no. Yeah, I mean, look,
just something else to think of. Go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say he's no. In my book, he's no Mahomes. No, not. I mean, look, he still has a chance to prove himself, No, I think the comps to Mahomes are just ridiculous at this point.
Exactly. He's going to get the chance. They knew about this pick 3 or 4 weeks ago. I thought that was kind of interesting, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. No, I'll,
Daniels goes to a good sit. Go ahead, bud.
No, sorry. I was just agreeing. I was saying, yeah, I'm out on him. Totally out on him. Glad that we weren't tasked with the challenge of bringing him in here, because no, I think he's going to be a disaster.
Okay. And then the Jaden Daniels thing, Justin, I thought, you know, the only thing interesting about that was, that Wolf let it slip that he was, they knew that the Commanders were going to take him 3 weeks before the pick was actually made. I thought that was kind of interesting, but a straightforward pick. I think, you know, Daniels goes to a good place. I don't think there's much to say about that one. You know, except wait and see. I think, you know, the injury is going to be the big issue with him because of his size. The May pick we already talked about. We both, by the way, got the top three picks of the draft right. The only other thing I'll say about that is I did have the Patriots trading out. I think the Patriots really like May a lot. And I think they kept the door open. They kept saying Godfather offer. I think they did get legitimate offers. But I don't think they got the Godfather offer that was going to move them, you know. And I think that's how some of these stories about the trade thing kind of come together now in retrospect.
Yep. Yeah. Totally. Totally.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say I think they really liked May, and I don't think anybody made anything that was, you know, to your point, like an offer they couldn't refuse. And you know what? At the end of the day, I'm happy. I'm happy they took May. I know I've said I wanted him to take, you know, like Marvin Harrison Jr. or Joe Alt, who, you know, coincidentally went 4-5. But I'm happy with May. I think at the end of the day, you took the best quarterback possible.
Yeah. All right. Absolutely. All right. And then we can go through the next few in the top 10. There's a lot to say, but in the interest of time, I think we should, let's talk about the most interesting pick in the top 10. And I think that's the pick from Michael Penix Jr. At 8, which was really the surprise of the draft, really first surprise, because I think we more or less nailed the first 6 picks, give maybe one or two exceptions. I think everyone did. That 8 pick was a shocker. I love this move for the Atlanta Falcons. I've heard some people criticize and rip the Falcons apart because they just signed Cousins. Kirk Cousins is a surefire ticket to mediocrity. He makes you respectable. He is a 2-year ticket to mediocrity. You don't pass up the chance to draft a potential franchise quarterback for Kirk Cousins. They're never going to win a Super Bowl with Kirk Cousins. Bringing in a franchise quarterback is more valuable than using that pick on a defensive player. I love that they brought in Penix. I thought it was an aggressive move. You need a quarterback. It was a great, I thought, strategy from the Atlanta Falcons. Characteristically, a brilliant move. Uncharacteristically brilliant move.
I mean, I don't know.
Tell you hate it because I just tell from the look on your face.
You know, I looked at that pick and I said, not that Kirk Cousins is a Super Bowl caliber quarterback. You know, we've both said it, but you know, I've been very vocal about saying that he's a talented loser, right? He has a very defined ceiling in the NFL. You're only going to get so far with him. You'll never win a Super Bowl with him. And I agree. I agree to that wholeheartedly. But if you're the Falcons and you're trying to win now, I think there were a lot of picks that you could have made to kind of help you win now. Like Michael Penix Jr. Might be a great pick for them in the long run, but I don't think he helps you win now. Now, I understand maybe the argument that, like, look, we got a 36-year-old quarterback who's coming off an Achilles tear, and if he goes down, we don't want that to be the end of our chances this season, right? I get that, and I understand that. And for that reason, they want to bring in a Michael Penix Jr. Fine. But that's a team that still has a bunch of holes in that roster that they could have filled. I just think it was weird, not that you draft Michael Penix Jr., but that if that was your game plan, I just don't understand the Kirk Cousins signing, especially for that type of money.
Well, I think they wanted to sign Cousins for today, and then when they got the chance to draft Penix Jr. for tomorrow, I mean, look, this is a quarterback driven league. And if pathway to consistent success is to get one of these franchise guys. So if one of them falls to your lap in the draft, I'm sorry. You can't pass up that chance to go what? Draft Dallas Turner? I mean, that's not going to get you over the hump. You could have the best defensive inference maker, a quarterback. I understand the logic. Oh, this is a team that is probably a playoff caliber team and they could use that draft pick to fill another hole. But I just think the value of getting a franchise quarterback, it just trumps that tenfold in my mind.
Well, look, you know, I hope it works out with the Falcons. I did think, it was very telling. You know, you could tell the owner, Arthur Blank, you could tell he was a little thrown off by that pick. I feel like, you know, you saw him talking to Terry Fontenot after the pick, and it looked like Terry was doing some serious explaining and justification for what he just did. And then also I thought it was very telling when, you know, Terry I always blank on the coach's name, Raheem Morris. Raheem Morris, yeah. When they did the press conference after, and they said it without saying it, that Kirk Cousins and his agent was pretty pissed.
That's definitely come out today too. That's been reported multiple places today.
For sure. So you know what? It may wind up being the right move in the long run, but I think it was easily the most controversial move I saw in the first round of the draft.
If Penix turns out to be the next Pat Mahomes, And they have him in their program for the next 10, 12 years, nothing else is going to matter. His age, the fact they signed Cousins, the fact they missed on Dallas Turner or whatever defensive player you want, none of that will matter if Penix works out. I think in today's NFL, quarterback is so important. I just think you got to take some chances and make some sacrifices to try and get one of these top guys. And I think that's what I love what Atlanta did. All right, Justin, we'll save the rest of the top 10 for next time because I know we're on a time crunch. We wanted to keep this one short. Very quickly, the Patriots go on the clock again in about an hour and 15 minutes. What do you like for this number 34 pick? This take will age extremely quickly, by the way.
Yeah, I think you either got to go draft the best wide receiver available or you got to use that draft capital to go out and trade for a wide receiver. I know, you know, the Brandon Ayuk is still out there. T. Higgins is still out there. There's some other guys that are still out there available for trade. I think you either got to draft a wide receiver or you got to trade for a wide receiver. Give your young quarterback some help for when he eventually does step in.
I agree. But the only receivers that I would consider moving this pick for is Ayuk or A.J. Brown. I don't want Deebo Samuel. I love him as a player, but I'd rather take Ladd McConkey or someone like that if he's there, because I think Samuel had a tremendous injury history.
Yeah.
And I don't think he can be relied on. He's a terrific player. He's a game changer when he's out there, but I don't want him at this point in his career. And he's got a huge cap hit. I hate to say that because, you know, we try not to think of, you just want the Patriots have plenty of cap room, right? So they should be willing to spend some money. But at the same time, I don't think I'd want to spend money on a guy with that kind of injury history. Ladd McConkey's my guy. I hope Buffalo doesn't take him. If he's there, Patriots should snatch him up. He's a younger version of Deebo Samuel, and run if he's there.
Yeah, I don't hate that at all. And real quick before we go, I just have to say, Buffalo, like, come on, man. Like, you, like, out of all the things you could have done, you traded back with the Chiefs, like the team that's owned you and fed you your lunch in the playoffs. Like, not just like they've been the bane of your existence. And you got a chance when you desperately need a wide receiver after shipping out Stephon Diggs and Gabe Davis to go take a decent receiver. I mean, Xavier Leggett, and I believe Xavier Worthy.
They were both there. Yeah. Leggett's gone now. Carolina took him.
Leggett's gone. Worthy's gone. Not that there aren't some good.
Worthy's still there. I think Worthy's still there.
Leggett's
gone.
Worthy's who the Chiefs took.
Oh, Worthy's the guy they took. Yes. That's right. The other guy from Texas is still there.
Yes, yes. But I mean, so look, it's not that there aren't a couple good receivers in there, but you desperately needed a receiver and you traded with the Kansas City Chiefs.
And they were there.
Yeah. Exactly. Both of those things.
And when you saw the guy the Chiefs took with that pick, Justin, what was the first thing you thought?
I thought Tyreek Hill Jr. Honestly, they're gonna
exactly right. They just let him get the next Tyreek Hill. It's like, literally. Oh my God,
literally. So think that was Buffalo just taking a bad offseason, I think, making it even worse. So unless they do something crazy tonight in the second or third round as far as trades or moving back up or whatnot, I think it was just a huge L for the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, that's a great take. Let's end it on that. We're going to come back next week. We'll go through the whole first round, the whole rest of the draft. We'll break down certainly every pick the Patriots make, and we'll definitely get a little bit more into some of the first round picks and things other teams have done during that time. But like I said, we wanted to come in and just give a little bit of content on this Drake May pick because it's such a huge deal. So you got anything else you want to add, Justin, or is that it?
No, that's it. Looking forward to round 2 and 3. We'll catch you guys next week.
Catch you guys next week. Enjoy the final rounds, and let's hope the Patriots fill in this roster a little bit.